From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, back here on another thrilling episode of Bob After Dark. Happy to be with you here tonight, live here on the radio as I get my, there I am, back here on the radio, and it should be a really humdinger of an episode if you're watching here live on maybe a Jed TV. Also, if you're listening on the TuneIn app or on the radio, AM 1230, 104.7 FM, as well as in podcast land as well. Lots of places to listen, lots of places to watch here, Bob.
Absolutely. Yeah. How are you doing tonight, Count Panic? You having a good night?
I am. Yes. Everything is rocking and rolling here, Bob. I just fired up the old machine here, so we're ready to roll here.
Excellent.
On Bob.
Hey, Count, can we get the weekend update while I quickly close the studio door?
Yeah, we'll get the weekend update right now. Yes, the weekend update, I will tell you this. I'm trying to remember what happened. Again, the weekend sometimes seems so long ago, so far away. It was only a couple of days ago. Pretty low-key weekend. Didn't do much. You know, as a vampire, I walked around here and there, and but not a whole lot, despite the weather being nice. You know, it's just it's one of those weekends, not much going on. Now, this weekend, I plan to take a trip to a couple different places, but this past weekend, not a whole dang lot. How about you, Bob?
You know, not too bad. I just closed the door and it reopened.
You think it's ghost?
It might be. Do you want to run and get this one while I share?
Oh, here, okay, Bob. I'll have to get up
this time.
I'll get up this time.
Okay, excellent. You know, Count Panic, my weekend was okay. I worked. It was Father's Day, so I got to spend time with the original creator of Bob After Dark, if you will, Bob Sr. It was nice to spend a little bit of time with him. I discovered something new, Count Panic. I'm waiting for you to get back to your station to talk about this because it was it's really exciting. Do you want to know what I discovered over the weekend, Count Panic?
What'd you discover over the weekend, Bob?
I discovered something called TikTok.
Tell me about this, Bob. I hear you talking a lot about TikTok.
Listen, I am not a young man anymore, Count Panic. I am an old man who doesn't really understand things some days. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was it was definitely something. I discovered this TikTok thing anyway, and it's this app.
I heard about this.
So it's for you guys that are uninformed, TikTok is an app where you create 10 to 1 minute long clips of video talking about something, doing something, instructional videos. It's just kind of like this really bad rabbit hole of I don't know how to describe it. Just is the weird, the anything, really. There's people that dance. There's people that give advice. There's people who role play on there. There's people who tell stories, etc. Well, anyway, I got into it because I wanted to see if it'd be a good fit for Bob After Dark. I want to expand the audience a little bit, a new way for us to interact with the fans. So I signed up for this TikTok thing, and I'm enjoying it. It's actually a very fascinating app. So if you're actually joining us from the TikTok world, I found us from there. Oh, hey there. Welcome to Bob After Dark.
That's
fascinating.
It is amazing. You know, TikTok to me, I thought it was always for just goofy dances and, you know, the younger folks out there. But it appears to be for everybody, Bob. A lot of people are getting in on this, and you seem to be getting in on it as well.
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating to say the least.
So what do you do on it, Bob?
So I created several videos. A couple of them were me, like, walking around a cemetery, which was really cool, and, like, doing, like, different things and talking in a cemetery. And then I did another one where I showed off, like, my Mothman collection. We'll get to me adding to that here in a minute.
Yeah.
And then we also had, like, Oh, we did several things. It was really cool. So you guys, I don't want to spoil everything because we just did two tonight. For the uninitiated, you guys can follow us at Bob After Dark. I think is how TikTok works. The name of us, the account is called Bob After Dark. So you can follow us on TikTok there.
Simple as that.
And there are two TikToks, including a Count Panic Dance.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I'm trying to get onto TikTok as well. But, you know, Bob, you're showing me the way. You're showing me the way of TikTok, and I appreciate that. I'm still stuck in the MySpace days, Bob, so it's nice to have somebody to help me out with that. So a new adventure for Bob After Dark, the TikTok world. So
yes.
Follow us there.
Follow us there at Bob After Dark. Follow us on TikTok.
All right, I'll be following.
You know, if you're
listening, I got to make a TikTok now.
If you're listening to us in audio land, by the way, and you're curious how to join us in the chat like the old days, you can go to JedTV.com and scroll down to the chat box. There is a chat box.
So you're saying live on demand, Bob After Dark is playing right now.
Yes.
And then there's a chat box, too, on the main page. You can chime into the show that way, too. If you're listening to this in the podcast land, I guess this doesn't make sense to you.
No, it doesn't matter. They're like, there's a chat I can listen to. No.
There's a phone line I can call in?
You can call in. There's a phone line for the live show, 219-845-1100. This is a strange for the podcast fans, they don't understand. But for us, it's really strange because I'm used to like having my, like, I don't know, it's weird. It's definitely an adjustment, to say the least, because I'm used to looking down and seeing like the live chat, so it's gonna take a while for the fans to figure out how to move over.
That's the way to do. Well, I know Elliot. Yes, Elliot's over there already. I know he's a trendsetter in the chat world.
Yeah, Elliot. Elliot's there.
Yeah.
So it's definitely it's weird. Now I feel like a legitimate true podcaster where it's just audio for the most part. And
well, we got the phone lines.
The phone lines are open. And so I got to get into my radio like romance here, right?
Bob, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, to me. And again, this has nothing to do with the podcast, nothing to do with the live video. It's all fantastic. They're all great outlets to view and listen on. But at the end of the day, I think the part I enjoy the most, and I'm going to tell you this once again, is the radio. I really enjoy the radio aspect of Bob After Dark. A paranormal show on a Tuesday night on radio, you can't beat that.
Absolutely. So, Count Panic, tell the fans at home what Bob After Dark is about if this is their first time ever watching.
You want me to tell the fans?
You know, normally I do.
The fans out there. Well, this is a show. Bob discusses all things paranormal, cryptids, things in the sky, things underneath the water surfaces. He investigates it all. He explores it all. He talks about it all. He has spooky news stories of the week. He also has the lore of the week, which goes deep dives into one specific topic. I don't know anything he's going to mention. I know as much as you guys when he posts maybe a write-up of the upcoming show. But he asked for my take as well, and I try to do my best to sum it up. And really, that's the show. And we are available in many different platforms. They could still leave, Bob, if I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong here. The 5-star reviews, too.
They certainly can, because podcast land doesn't go anywhere. The podcast is still powered by Memoriam Development, and the podcast fans that are listening, and probably the new podcast fans are listening, they're like, this doesn't change anything, and it's like, no, it doesn't. For you guys, it's fine.
And the TikTok fans that are just joining on TikTok, welcome aboard, too. TikTok, I didn't know TikTok was so popular, Bob. I guess I'm just living under a rock, but happy to be back there. Happy to be back on the TikTok.
All right, Count Panic. You ready for some spooky news of the week?
Before we do,
yes.
Should we give a shout out?
We do have a shout out.
Okay.
So
I'll get mine over here.
I want to read a letter. Count Panic and I actually got physical fan mail. And normally I get mail, and we get things like haunted dolls and more haunted dolls.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a whole lot of non-haunted doll stuff here at the show, right?
Yeah.
But we got a letter. Like snail mail, and it's not cursing me. It's not a death threat. There's no curses or anything like that. Let me read this. Thank you for always brightening my week with Bob After Dark. It has been one heck of a year, and the laughs are needed. I found this artist in Michigan who is obsessed with cryptids, etc. This is her interpretation of Mothman and the Loch Ness Monster. Melanie Brooks with Earth and Wood Studio. Mothman is for Bob, and Nessie is for Count Panic. signed Heather Brooks, and I'll show mine off first because it's probably a little easier for you to zoom in and then zoom back out on yourself.
Yeah, let's try that first. There.
I got this beautiful Mothman print. It's
look at that.
It's so cool. It's really cartoony. He's got a big old smile on his face. It's weird seeing a black and red interpretation of Mothman. Usually it's gray and black, but I can get behind it because the wings match the eyes and it's got a nice blood moon. It's very comic booky. Like
cool.
It's less horror-y and more less cryptid-y than the culty like the normal Mothman artwork. And this one's more like vibrant and colorful. I'm a big fan. Thank you so much, Heather, for the drawing. This is brilliant. Let's see yours, Cal Penny.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say you got a moth. You had a Mothman Mothman collection in one of those TikTok videos. Now you have something to add to it for sure. But of course, Heather, a big fan of the show. Loch Ness Monster right there. Look at that. Beautiful artwork. Again, Melanie Brooks.
That's
no
so
relation
cool.
to Heather, but this fantastic art. I thank her for drawing it. I thank Heather for sending it our way. It's pretty cool stuff. Nice little write up in the back, too, about each of the cryptids as well. So, very nice touch.
Oh,
this
I
will
didn't
be going,
see that.
Yeah,
what's,
right in the back. There's
what's
nice
your, what's your say?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. The Loch Ness monster, often affectionately called Nessie, was first described in the 1930s. It is believed to live in Loch Ness Lake in the Scottish Highlands. Nessie is considered to be a very large aquatic reptile with a long neck and humped back, resembling the extinct creature, Plesiosaur?
No, let's take that. Yeah, sounds
okay.
good.
Make it sure. You know more dinosaurs than me.
Sure.
Much debate and research has been done, and it is still being done, on the existence of Nessie, with much debate over photographic evidence samples over the years. Well, Nessie, of course, like all cryptids, doesn't like to be photographed, but you know what? I believe in Nessie, one of my favorite cryptids of all time, and she's still out there surfing the big blue sea or whatever lake you call it as
the
well.
Lock.
Although she could be anywhere, I guess, you know? She
all
could
right.
be anywhere, but all I right. appreciate this.
I just wanted you to do that because you never give me lore.
Well, I gave you some. Did you learn anything?
I did.
About
I
this?
Learned something. It was pretty fascinating.
But did you know about the dinosaur? Is she resembling the extinct creature?
I've heard. But I literally wanted you to share something with the audience.
I was trying to stump you with this.
It was
here.
Good. You want? I'll read mine real fast.
Okay.
The Mothman is a creature which was first sighted in the 1960s in West Virginia, with many sightings being in the Point Pleasant area. The Mothman is described as a bipedal, meaning standing on two legs, slightly larger than a human and humanoid in appearance. It has two glowing reflective red eyes and a giant wingspan. The wings do not appear to flap, yet they are rather straight and stiff, and the Mothman seems to shoot straight up into flight. Beautiful.
And see? Now people say you are Mothman. That's not true.
I count.
Okay,
I'm not
sure.
We've had this conversation.
We did.
It's
we
not
did.
Like I'm Arthur from The Tick where I just randomly spawn in and become spawn in and be like, oh, time to put on my Mothman costume.
Yeah.
However, I have learned something from TikTok over the weekend. That is, there is a lot of people who really enjoy dressing up as the Mothman.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating.
No, for sure. People get into that stuff. So, Heather, thank you.
Heather,
once
thank
again.
You so much.
Yeah,
we appreciate
beautiful.
Heather, to you.
Oh.
A cheers.
All
we
right.
appreciate you as a fan. We appreciate the fan mail delivered in the studio. And we got a handwritten letter. That's a new one. So do you, Heather. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
That's a hand-delivered personal five-star review, Bob, I think. So thank you, Heather.
Absolutely.
Drinking sparkling water.
You're drinking spark? Look at what is that?
We ran out of real water, so I'm drinking sparkling water.
Do you, is that a, how do I say that? Is that our new sponsor? No, it's not.
No, I should have hit the symbol.
You should have hit the symbol, absolutely.
Oh,
wow. All right, Count, you ready to talk about some spooky news of the week?
I am ready.
All right, so our first news article comes to us from Ryder. Can you take a guess?
Is this who I think it is?
Tim Binnall.
Okay.
From Coast to Coast AM. Tim Binnall is writing an article about a UFO research facility to open up in Japan. UFO enthusiasts in Japan have announced plans to open a research facility that they hope will provide new insights into the mysterious phenomena. According to a local media report, the Vertible Flying Saucer Laboratory will be in a new addition, and apologize for the enunciation, the new addition to the UFO Freikon, which is a museum in the community of Lino that is devoted to the topic. The location is in a rather famous is rather famous in Japan due to the high volume of strange sightings that has been in the area since the site earned the nickname UFO Town. Although the museum first opened in 1992, it largely served as more of a celebration of the phenomena with various exhibits and attractions centered around UFOs. Now, however, it plans to take its approach more of a proactive approach to the subject. To that end, the forthcoming research facility intends to collect and analyze UFO reports from around the country, which also is serving as a hub for researchers throughout Japan. Additionally, they have rather ambitious and audacious plans to conduct experiments with an eye towards somehow drawing unidentified flying objects to the area. Lest one think the facility is merely a fantastic flight of fancy, it would appear to be rather serious endeavor as it operated as the editor of the Paranormal magazine in Japan and a whopping 30 local residents that have already volunteered to help with the project, which is slated to begin operation later this month. Hashtag panic stake.
That's interesting. Well, you know, more research is being done day by day about stuff like this, and that's good to see. You know, it's nice to see things not just fall by the wayside and actual physical research being done here, Bob. So I'm expecting some more breakthroughs down the line here. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm expecting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's pretty fascinating. Neither one of us speak Japanese, but maybe we should try.
Well, you know what, Bob? I don't know. I dabbled in it from time to time.
Did you really?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't offered in
high
school.
We have fans
It wasn't
out
offered
there.
In
we
high
have,
school.
We have fans that do speak it. I do know several that could translate for us. Maybe we should reach out to the research facility and see if we can get an interview. That'd be pretty fascinating to talk to them a little bit about what they're doing.
That would be. You think they'll come on?
They might. You never know. I want to give a quick, you know, a quick kudos to these folk that are doing this sort of a thing, right? The study of anything metaphysical, UFO, paranormal, occult, whatever, in a scientific study, in like a scientific mindset, is always kind of like, I don't want to say taboo, but it is in a way in the normal scientific community because it's really it's a pseudoscience, and it's not something that's ever really taken seriously. So the fact that this, like, is opening up and is, like, a legitimate research center where they're going to be doing, you know, studying and getting things ready to go in the full motion, etc., that's very, very fascinating to me, and I'm very excited to, you know, see that happen. And I wish I could see more of like that in the States. And, I mean, we have stuff like that, but a full, like, dedicated center, that's really amazing.
No, for sure, yes. So, well, don't mind the man behind me, too. That's the maintenance guy. He's just getting some work done around here, Bob. But
hey there, maintenance guy.
but people may be fearful around here. But yes, good point, Bob. I that is a very good point.
Absolutely.
Research.
Thank you, Calvin. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right, let's move on. And this is actually a news story came to us from another fan. This one was sent to us by Elliot from, God, I'm sorry, Elliot, I just lost my train of thought on your paranormal group, and I'm sure it'll get like brought up to us right away. ACG Paranormal. I'm sorry, Elliot. It just slipped my mind. But
it
Elliot,
helps that his name is Elliot ACG as
yes.
well. Yeah.
Elliot from ACG Paranormal has chimed in and sent me this article, and it's from Science News. And it is a team of scientists have developed millimeter-sized robots that can be controlled using magnetic fields to perform highly maneuverable and dexterous manipulations. This could pave the way for possible future applications in biomedicine and manufacturing. That's the summary. I'm going to read article's
okay.
rather long. This is like a really like inspiring piece, and it's more of a journalistic thing, so it's very long, but I'll just kind of skip through. That was the summary. A team of scientists at the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, or what they call the NTU Singapore, have developed millimeter-sized robots that can be controlled using magnetic fields to perform highly maneuverable and dexterous manipulations. This could pave the way for the possible future of applications in biomedicine and manufacturing. The research team has created these from polymers that are non-toxic materials to both harm. They're non-toxic and it's harmless to humans. And the robots are programmed to execute their desired functionings with magnetic fields applied. the made-in-NTU robots improve on many existing small-scale robots by optimizing their ability to move in 6 degrees of freedom, or as they call DOF, and that is transitional movement along 3 spatial axes. Long story short, let me summarize this to the best of my ability. This is quick, right? These robots are millimeter big. They're nanobots, and they're able to move in 6 degrees of full motion, which is pretty impressive. And they are controlled by... they're able to be controlled by EMF, electric magnetic fields.
Okay. All right.
Which is how spirits communicate.
All right. So these are ghost
robots? These robots, in essence, this is, again, pseudoscience hypothesis, right? And Elliot sent this over to me, and we were talking a little bit about it, and he was telling me, science is building robots that can be controlled by spirits. That's fascinating, right? I mean, you got to think that's a theory that spirits speak to us through EMF fields, right? But it's cool that these things are controlled by EMF.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like ghost in a robot form, right?
Yes.
Kind of cool. And it then leads to a really strange philosophical discussion of, can these bots, if they're, spirits are controlled by EMF fields, right? And we could speak to them. Let's say you're on the believing side of the world and that's how they speak to you, right? Let's say we create, a vessel of these things. A walking, talking vessel. Let's say doll-shaped. And a spirit can get into this EMF-controlled doll. And then it can move about on its own in free automation. And now I got a haunted doll moving around on its own. That's the thought that's going to keep me up at night. By the way, # panic state.
That's what I'm saying. I was going to bring that too as well. In essence, then, if you're a ghost or a spirit, you really could just, get inside one of these robots. And the world is your oyster, basically, because now... you have a new, brand new body, and of course, you are already a soul, but now you got this new physical moving shell. Could be terrorizing people, unless you're a good. I guess it depends on who the ghost is, right? So if you're a good ghost, you're going to use that robot for good. If you're a bad ghost, you use that robot for bad. So it all depends, Bob, but I know dolls aren't your thing, but robots are terrifying regardless, because we always say here, robots could be the future, and that's not always a good thing. But then when you put a bad ghost inside one of those robots, well, then, heck, all hell is let loose. So I don't know if this is a good thing, Bob. I don't know if this is a good thing at all. It sits wrong with me here.
Ghost dolls.
Yeah. I don't know.
Full movement ghost dolls.
I don't want it. No.
Scary.
That's one of the worst case scenarios something's happening.
I mean, it's kind of fascinating, I guess, in, the metaphysical science world, though. If we're able to control these, if we can get spirits to interact with something like that, where it's, full movement, or if we can somehow be able to speak, that would be an interesting way of balancing, the real science with the paranormal, right?
Mm.
And it's even more fascinating if we can get a way for it to speak or something like that, because that becomes... a real scientific way of communicating with the dead. And that, my friend, is both terrifying and fantastic at the same time.
Should we have that, though? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you've gone on investigations before.
I have.
You know the tools of the trade. Sometimes you do, sometimes there are things you do in the paranormal, communication world where you use tools to do those sorts of things. So I guess it's not terrible because, we have that now. We have trigger objects like stuffed bears and stuff where a ghost can move things around, so...
Yeah, but still, you really want that. I don't know. Some things are best left as they are, but that's just me.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a caller.
We do. We have Elliot on the line.
Elliot, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
How you doing, Elliot? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from near Joliet, Illinois.
Oh, it's Elliot from the ACG Paranormal, everybody.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
How you doing?
But Domino's has robot cars delivering pizza now.
Yeah.
FedEx is going to be doing the same thing.
Whoa, holy smokes. Really?
So we're going to have a bunch of haunted cars delivering our pizzas.
That's bizarre. I don't know how I feel about that.
The Disney has these crazy acrobatic robots to replace stuntmen.
Huh. So,
yeah,
are you on? Are you with me on where, you know, Terminator Apocalypse is a bad thing?
Yeah.
That's how we're going out.
Of all the things in the world, robots probably scare me the most. They're probably one of the only things that really freak me out.
They are terrifying.
I don't...
Especially nanobots.
No, but... you're a paranormal investigator, Elliot. We've talked a lot, and, you know, you know, we're fans of each other. How do you feel about this nanobot technology potentially being a new form, like really advanced form of potential spiritual communication? Do you think it's a good thing, bad thing? What's your take on it?
So if we can control it where there's a safe off switch, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for having something that we can communicate with the spirits, but as long as there's an off switch, I don't want them to be able to take over nanobots. That's the last thing we need.
Yeah, no, because can you imagine something worse taking it over a very, what's the term I'm looking for? A very malevolent spirit getting control of these things?
Yeah, those things
demonic.
Get into a death row somewhere, then you got a big problem on your hands.
I agree fully. I appreciate you calling in, Elliot.
I'll let you get back to the show, Bob.
Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate the support.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Folks, do you want to be like Elliot from the from excuse me. Do you guys want to be like Elliot from ACG Paranormal?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say ASG. I am sorry, Elliot. Elliot from ACG Paranormal. Do you want to call into the show and give me your 3 cents? More than 2 cents. You want to give me your 3 cents? Call in. Our phone number is 219-845-1100. You guys can call in, say hello. I want to hear from you.
So no, for sure. Yeah.
Make sure you call.
Call right now.
Call right now.
Operators are standing by.
Are you the operator standing by?
I am the operator standing by.
Well, thank you, Count Panic. All right. You ready to move on to our last news article?
I am.
All right. Moving on from our old pal, Tim Benal.
Okay.
Eerie well from hell in Yemen leaves officials scratching their head. And I'll repeat that because it's a weird jumble. Eerie well from hell. Well as in hole in the ground. A curious and rather eerie chasm dubbed the Well from Hell continues to baffle authorities in Yemen despite being in existence for centuries. The peculiar pit, which is located in the country's Al-Mahada near the border of Oman, reportedly measures nearly 98 feet in diameter. However, its depth is actually a mystery. We've never reached the bottom of this well, explained Sahal Bada, an official with the Al-Mahada Geological Survey and Mineral Resources Authority, as there's little oxygen and no ventilation. As such, experts can only guess how deep this hole might actually be, with estimates ranging from around 300 feet to approximately 800 feet. According to Bob Hare, the hole has been in the desert for millions and millions of years, and as one might imagine, such rather unsettling legends have become attached to it over that time. Due to the unpleasant odor emitting from the pit, it's been come to regarded by people living in the area as a prison for demons, specifically the infamous djinn, which is really big in that neck of the woods. There are also claims of those who venture too close to the pit wind up being pulled into it, very much like a Starlight pit from Star Wars, presumably never to be seen again. Remarkably, belief that the ominous nature of the chasm is so significant to many locals that they not only refuse to go near it, but some will not even talk about it in fear of unleashing the dark forces believed to live within the pit. Detailing one expedition to the hole in an attempt to learn more about it, Bob Hare indicted that the officials only managed to get around 175 feet down into the pit before abandoning the operation. "We've noticed strange things inside, but we also smell something strange," he recalled, before musing, "That's the mysterious situation." Alas, Bobby Hare did not elaborate on what strange things were seen, but inside the Well from Hell. which likely only fuel the legends of it being the domain for demonic beings. Considering that the Chasm has been around longer than anyone can remember, yet it is still quite mysterious, he rightfully observed that these places require more study, research, and investigation. And that is, of course, assuming they can find anybody brave enough to go down there, I volunteer.
Yeah?
I volunteer as tribute to the country of Yemen. If you are looking to sponsor a paranormal podcast and will take care of the trip, I'm not only going to volunteer myself, I'm going to volunteer Count Panic.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
that's not
sorry,
crazy.
Me and Count Panic are going to Yemen. Listen, government of Yemen, I'm not joking. This is 100% fact. If take care of the trip, take care of the travel expenses.
Room and board.
Pay for us to get down there. Me and Panic will go and investigate the mysterious hole where, you know, Jin are said to be kept prisoner. Now, keep in mind, skeptical mind arises in me just a pinch that what the weird smell is radiating from it, right? I can only imagine that there's, because it's such a deep hole, that there's probably some sulfur coming out of there, you know, being that, you know, depending on how deep it goes. The deeper you go in ground, the closer you get, you know, mantle, core, etc. It's been a long time since I studied, you know, geology, folks, so I pardon me if I don't remember the exact order of the layers of the earth. But the deeper you go, the more gases you're going to hit, and it's going to start smelling really, you know, sulfury really fast. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get hashtags panic steak before I go into what I honestly think is going on inside this hole.
Well, I'm not sure if you should volunteer out of both of us, but you know what? If you're down for it, I'm down for it as well. But these, when you go inside these, you know, deep, dark underground holes and stuff like that, remember that one story you had? They threw a cell phone down there, if I'm remembering this correctly. They threw a cell phone, or somebody lost a cell phone down there, and they heard screaming at the bottom of this a hole. It's going to end up something like that, Bob, and we're going to end up regretting going to Yemen and going inside this hole. I don't know. I think nothing good could come from this, Bob, if we were down there. Nothing good could come from this at all. I think maybe it's best if we just stay above ground. You know what? Maybe it's best if we just stay here in the Chicagoland area.
So what you're saying, Count Panic?
Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't think.
And what you're saying is we're going to Yemen.
Oh, okay. Is that what I'm saying?
What I'm hearing you say, Count Panic,
yeah,
is
yeah.
Bob. I totally agree. I think this is a great idea. I think we should go to Yemen and go down the hole.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
But you're saying we're getting covered for this, right? We're getting comped for this stuff.
I'm telling the government of Yemen or whatever biological, geographical, geoglyphal. That's not a word. Geographical geology society, whatever is out there in Yemen that is sponsoring these types of excavations, you can give me a call. In fact, I'm going to put together a team right now. It's going to be me, Count Panic, Josh Gates, and Dr. Ben Vanderson from the Displays Ghostbusters. We're going to Yemen to go down that hole.
Are we now? Okay, well, I'm ready for it. Looks like you have us all booked. Well, listen, if we are doing this, may I suggest the Best Western to stay at? The Yemen.
I don't know
Best
if the
Western.
Yemen has Best Western.
Well, I'm sure they got something.
Is Best Western sponsoring this podcast?
You never know. I may be getting a kickback from that mention. Well,
did you really?
Listen, Bob, let's not talk about it.
Did you really just get a kickback on my show?
You know, Bob, that might be something back the door deals. You know, Bob, you never know.
If you got a sponsorship for the Bob After Dark without me knowing
Bob,
about it,
I'm not liable to say. I'm not liable to say.
Do we have another caller?
We have another call. Oh, wait. Caller, call back.
Did you just?
I think I may have just accidentally hung up
you
on
you. Just
the call.
Hung up on John.
How do we know it was him, though?
I know it's John. Caller, call back.
All right.
I just have a feeling it's
he'll,
John.
He'll call back. Sorry about that. That might be him now. Let's see. Should we take it
just
live
open,
on here?
Open up the hole.
All right.
Open
take
up the hole.
Here.
Open up the phone.
Open up the phone.
Who are you speaking to?
Hey, somebody did load me over there.
I did.
Was that John?
Him. Yes.
Is that John? John, how you doing?
Hey, can you put me on that list to go to Yemen, Bob?
You want to go to Yemen, John? We're putting you on. Do you want to climb down this weird, strange, sunken hole?
You just tell me wherever to go, and just to get out of East Chicago, I'll go.
Wow.
I'll go with you anywhere.
All right, John, you're signed up. You're coming with us to the mysterious hole.
Beautiful.
Do you have some good upper body strength? You're going to have to hold the rope when I go down.
Hey, Whatever job you got for me, Bob, it'll be a pleasure and an honor.
Now, John, I got to ask, what do you think's down there? Because we're about to, me and Panic are about to do the same thing. Do you think there's something metaphysical, or do you think there's like a natural science problem down there?
I'm not really that familiar with it, to be honest with you. So I don't want to take a guess.
Sure, sure.
I don't want to pretend like I know what I don't know. So I will continue listening and maybe shed a little light on it. But definitely put me on that list with you guys. I want to go. So
sounds good.
Take my dog Ben. Hey, listen. Do you foresee robots hunting out the paranormal also, or no?
We'll see. It's these nanobots have a real big potential for these types of things. So we'll see what happens. That's really all I got to say about it.
Sounds good. I hear you, Bob.
Absolutely.
Good show, and I'll continue listening.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate the call. Do we have another? See you, John. Do we have another caller comp?
We do not. We do not. And don't mind the second guy in the background. That's another. This is a packed studio here.
You know, we're just
going
to start asking the folk that come through the studio. Do you believe in ghosts? Just give me a head.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I'm going to give him what he's looking for right here. There you go. Got the
Thank
memory
so
drive.
Much.
Got
Appreciate
the memory
that.
Drive right there.
It's a busy studio tonight. I'm not used to seeing anybody this late. It's fascinating.
Well, a lot of stuff happening around here right now. But what was I going to say? But how do we know, Bob, deep inside this hole in Yemen, that there's not like a portal there that takes you maybe to somewhere nice, like maybe it pops you into Big Frank's Sausage or to Mars Cheese Castle? That could be a thing as well. Maybe you just go down there and then you're secretly teleported one of these delightful places. You never know. That's wishful thinking on my part. That's wishful thinking on my part for sure.
You know, children, I want to know your opinion. So as we're getting closer to going to break here, I'm going to put this up in the chat in the Children of the Night page for you guys to go and take a peek. And I want your opinion of what's physically down there. Now, there are three sides to this story that you can physically say what's down there. What really is fascinating about the article that blew my mind about this is the fact that the head researcher said that they found strange things down there and they wouldn't comment on it.
Did they?
No. Yes. Do we have another caller?
You want to take it live again?
Let's just take it live.
We're going to take it live.
You're on the air, listener.
Portage Pete, I don't really – I'm stopped at a train here in Griffith, which is fine.
Okay.
But this ghost thing, I don't really believe in them, but I don't have a problem with them if they're there, because I think it's just kind of a, how do you say, a spirit or a higher power. I think, you know, religion kind of lets me down sometimes. You know, there's got to be something. We don't live in a vacuum.
You know, Portage Pete, I got to say, I do these things on the regular. The show's on every week. I study the weird and the unexplained, and I think you have the best opinion I've heard out of a lot of folk in a long time, that there's got to be something some days.
Well, if you Google me, you'll see it comes up troubled human.
Ah, fair enough. Well, don't worry, Portage Pete. You got some love from us here at WJOB and Bob After Dark.
10-4.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Have a good one, Portage Pete.
That was nice.
That was a nice call.
Yeah, Portage Pete chiming in.
Is Portage Pete a normal listener? I've never heard Portage Pete call a noir show before.
Maybe he just happened to listen to it.
That's fine. Well, we appreciate that.
Maybe he's on TikTok. I don't know. He might have found us on TikTok. You say people can find us on TikTok.
You can't find it. At Bob After Dark. I want to know what you get on there and see the Count Panic. I don't want to spoil it. You gotta see it to believe it.
Yeah. No, don't spoil anything, Bob. It's on there on TikTok, but. Fascinating stuff.
Anyway, so we're talking about what I don't want to drop from this conversation just yet, because they say they found something mysterious down in that hole, right? Now, from a scientific standpoint, and they're not wanting to comment on it, they're probably not wanting to comment on it because they don't want to cause any kind of crazy hysteria. Or what they saw was something strange in scientific advances that they need to talk about and study more. That's why they're going on about it. Now, the conspiracy side of things, which I'm not a conspiracy theory show, nor do I ever claim to be a person in that realm, but in the conspiracy side, maybe there people would say something like, oh, maybe they dug really deep and they got into the Hollow Earth stuff, and now they're seeing the shape-shifting reptilians. I will let you have that, conspiracy theorists, for the moment. And then finally, gin prison. We haven't talked too much about the gin on the show. I will summarize it in two sentences. We'll do an episode about the gin very, very soon, because now that's fascinating to me. Genie, the classic genie mythos, except not so friendly like the Disney version. In fact, yeah. Polar opposite, very terrifying. Some of the original demonic entities on the planet. That's highly dangerous, by the way. So, gin prison, I don't know.
No.
I could say the weird smells probably are that weird smell that's coming out of it probably has something to do with the gases from the ground escaping through, you know, tunnel hole up in the, you know, surface of the earth, and that's what they're smelling. Nothing demonic about that. What's down there, I don't know. I want to say this is a very fascinating discovery, which is why I'm saying Count Panic and I are going to Yemen to go down that hole. You're going first, by the way.
Why do I have to go first?
You're a lot lighter than me.
Oh, I don't know, Bob. I mean, I just think, you know, maybe we should have like a test dummy down there before I go in. But
yeah,
right,
you're
Bob.
The test.
Fine, I'll try it, Bob. I'll do anything once in my life. So
you're first?
Okay, fine.
You're immortal. You're a vampire.
You're right.
What do you,
why should
what
I be
you
scared
have
what's
anything?
Going on down there? You're right. You're right, Bob. Okay, listen, you got my agreement. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Just book the flight, have them comp it, and I'm there. I'm not lying. I'm there. Book it, Bob. Book it.
Not me. That's up to the country of Yemen.
Well, you got to reach out to them.
Yeah. How do you reach out to Yemen?
They maybe have a TikTok. I don't know.
At Yemen. Send us to the hole.
They might have a TikTok. Everybody else has a TikTok. But
folks, by the way, if you're listening live or even in podcast land, you can jump over to the Children of the Night Facebook page. That's our fan page where we have the fans go and interact. I just put up the article about the mysterious hole in Yemen. Go over there and comment and tell us what you think is down there.
Could be someone spooky.
Now,
could be something pretty nice.
Now, Count, before I move on, because we're about to go take a break here in a moment, real quick break. We have a review.
We do.
That was the longest pause in like radio history.
We do have a review.
That was like the most dramatic. It's like, we do? Yes, we get reviews.
Yes, I know.
We got one last week. We're on a roll again. You know, since the RSS feed reset and we had to re-get all of our old reviews back, we got a 5-star review.
Well, let's hear it.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm drinking. Sorry, I was drinking some of my
sparkling water. Don't drink yet. We have a.
Okay, do the toast.
That's bad luck.
All right, do the
all
thing.
All
right, we'll do
so
the toast.
We have a 5-star review from.
Fireworks going off, Bob.
That or a engine backfiring. Anyway, ChaiPal 3456. Fun, and Yule Cats.
Wow.
Is the name of the review.
I like
review
this review
title.
Already.
So ChaiPal 3456. Fun, and Yule Cats. This is by far my favorite paranormal podcast to listen to. Bob is fun to listen to and informative as well as entertaining. And I love that there isn't just the lore of the week, but creepy news stories to read as well that are sure to make you go, that's weird. And Count Panic is also a joy, and I adore his love for Yule Cat.
That's nice.
And we're going to put a pin in that real quick. We're going to do the cheers, but I got to put a pin in this review.
Okay.
So we got to talk about something that I find fascinatingly hilarious.
All right.
But to you, ChaiPal 3456, our 5-star review, a toast to you from myself and Count Panic. Thank you for the 5-star review.
Yes, to you for the 5-star review. That kind of rhymes.
That kind of rhymes. Yeah. Thank you so much, ChaiPal. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And before we take a break, I want to point something out that I find extremely fascinating.
What is
it? How your name is spelled.
My name is spelled.
How your name is spelled. I have had fans reach out in fan letters, fan mail, emails, reviews. And I might have seen your name get spelled correctly twice.
Really?
For the uninitiated, Count Panic is Polish, one of the very few Polish vampires out there in the world that are still kicking around.
Yes, very rare.
And we call him Panic because it's just how I actually met you in college. We started calling you Panic.
Yeah.
But it's not pronounced Panic.
No.
It's pronounced
Panic.
It's pronounced Panic.
But nobody says that. So
no, it's Count
Panic.
Yes. It's always been Count Panic.
Yeah, but you're not the only one.
But I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I understand how to pronounce it, but you're always Panic to me. But it's actually pronounced Panik.
P-A-N-E-K.
Yes. Yeah. Polish Polish show.
Polish.
Polish yeah. producer.
No ski at the end.
There's no ski. It's just Panic.
Yeah.
So that's how you pronounce it. But the people spell it P-A-N-I-C, P-A-N-I-K. I've seen it all kinds of ways.
Putting an I in there is generally the...
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not poking fun at people. That's not the point. What I'm saying is it's fascinating to me the way people will spell it. It's not like me where it's Bob. No one's going to misspell Bob.
It's pretty hard. Yeah.
But for you, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Shyfan spelled it P-A-N-E-K. They knew it.
Well, they knew about it. And again, you can spell it any way you want.
It's fine. You can pronounce it. Yeah. You can call him Count Panenana. That's fine by me.
But, you know, Panic is just the American way of saying things. We go with that because it's just – and it's – let's be honest. Panic's nice and all, but – it's a lot cooler when you say Panic.
You're a Panic
very
in the
good stage name. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I still pronounce. I understand the Polish heritage. I don't want John coming here and trying to fight me with a kibasa.
He's not gonna.
Because I know, and my dad. I'm gonna talk to my dad later, and he's gonna try to fight me from breaking the Polish heritage. But anyway, it is Panic. I just wanted to point that out. Anyway, folks, let's take a quick break. To our podcast fans, stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. And to our live fans, stick around, we will be right back.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob. How's it going?
How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad. What'd you do during break?
Bob, I went to Yemen.
You went to Yemen?
I went to Yemen to take a look to see what was going on over there.
Did you go to the hole?
Bob, I looked down. I don't think it's for us. It looks a little too deep down there. And as one of the people, Rye, I don't want to mispronounce this, Rye chiming into the chat board.
That's, you wouldn't believe who that is. Because there's some of the fans are still figuring out the way they're getting there, but it's Ryujin.
Okay, Ryujin.
Yeah, Ryujin.
Thank you.
Ryujin.
They had a stupid question. And speaking of, talk about what I did during the break as well. Why not just put a camera down there into that well? And I remember I would reference before. Remember they tried that, or a camera fell into a hole and you could hear like screaming and stuff like that. So maybe they don't want to be terrorized by that just yet. They're trying to send somebody physical down there to get the full report, but. Bob, I went to Yemen. I looked down there and didn't like what I had to see.
What'd you see?
Just bleakness, Bob. A lot of bleakness. Nothing good. Like looks like it's living down there. So I figure, hey, I come back here. I warn you, maybe it's not best for us to go there just yet. But that was just what I did during the break. What did you do during your break?
You know, Cal Panic, I actually watched Star Wars: Return of the Jedi. The scene where they were getting ready to execute the heroes at the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Because I believe that's what the hole is.
You
is
think
a
so?
Sarlacc pit. Yep.
Really? Without the whistles and bells, I guess.
It's just that. Listen, Sarlacc pit didn't have any whistles and bells either. I think you just go in the hole, you're dead.
There was a little more ceremonial thing behind that, I guess, but. Yes, Bob, you could liken it to that for sure.
Yes.
You finished that movie pretty fast. That's not a short
movie. I just watched the scene.
Okay.
I just watched the scene.
Oh, just
I had to get myself prepared.
You're right.
When I go, when we go to get lower down to that hole in the Yemen.
Well, you're prepared now, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Count Panic.
Yeah.
You ready for the lore of the week?
I am.
Okay. So, there are times when I indulge myself in a little, extracurricular paranormal activities, whether that be an investigation, whether that be reading some books about the paranormal, whether it be, you know, whatever. I give myself a little break from doing research for the show. I indulge in a lot of paranormal throughout the week, and sometimes I need a break from doing research for the show. And sometimes I can get really inspired by a topic that pops up in my extracurriculars.
Yeah.
There is a show on Travel Channel, of course, about the paranormal. Of course, that's called Paranormal Caught on Camera. Are you familiar with it?
Paranormal Caught on Camera. Can't say I am, Bob.
It is, without a doubt, one of the, I want to say, it's not trashy. It's quick clips, right? It's very much like in the same kind of tone as, like, America's Most Dangerous Car Chases or stuff like that, right? It's just clip shows.
Yeah.
But the clip show, this is a paranormal clip show, so people submit their clips to the show to get reviewed by a panel of experts. There's, you know, podcasters from Hometown Monsters on there, you know, some cryptozoologists, other paranormal podcasters that aren't me that are getting asked. Travel Channel asked me to be on Paranormal Caught on Camera, please. Subtle hint dropping. But anyway, there's a lot of these clips, right? And it's that one show that's always on repeat on Travel Channel these days. If you turn on Travel Channel, that's what you're going to get. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible show. I like it. It's fun and fascinating. It's just not something I can indulge in constantly because it's just constant clip over after over, 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 just clip after clip after clip. And it's fascinating, but, you know, sometimes I don't get to retain any knowledge.
No.
It's very, it's just there in front of you. However, there was a topic that I found so fascinating that Count Panic and I even reached out to the lead paranormal investigator for the project.
Yeah.
We didn't hear back from him.
Not yet.
Hopefully he gets in touch with us. We can talk to him next week. Sorry, folks. I had to stand up for a moment if you're watching.
He's walking up, folks. He's
yeah, I'm walking out. Okay, but we reached out. Yeah, waiting for that investigator to reach back out to me. Anyway, so I found the topic so fascinating that I wanted to talk to the investigator. We couldn't get in touch with him, so I'm going to do my best to talk about this story.
Yeah.
Now, there are places in the world that you would think are really haunted, right? When you just look at a building, you're like, that's probably haunted. Or something like an old abandoned school, kind of spooky, probably haunted. Movie theaters, kind of spooky, could be very much haunted.
Some are, yeah.
Right. And we've talked about different stuff. One thing I never would have thought in a million years to be haunted is a dam.
A dam?
A dam. And this particular story from this investigator who showed the video footage was about one particular dam in Tennessee called the Hales Bar Dam.
Now, I've seen a few dams in my day there, Bob.
Have you ever been to the Hoover Dam?
Never been to the Hoover Dam.
I never either. But apparently the Hoover Dam's extremely haunted, but that's not what we're talking about.
No,
today.
But I'm just
we're talking about the Hales Bar Dam.
But dams, typically, I don't think, for the most part, aren't haunted. I mean, I know beavers are hard at work creating those dams, of course, but you're talking about a specific haunted dam here. And I'm curious. You piqued my interest here, Bob.
Well, the story is so fascinating because, like, let me read the history, and then we'll talk a little bit about the ghost stuff, and then I'll share, like, what I saw in the footage, okay? So I'm going to read this historical article word from one of the websites that runs the history of the dam, and it's from Tag Harbor, and it begins. The history of the Hales Bar Dam on the Tennessee River in Marion County, Tennessee. And the Tennessee River Gorge was once one of the major impediments to the year-round navigation on the Tennessee River. There were not only unpredictable water levels, but the gorge was also filled with many water hazards and various other things that could stop people from actually moving their logging business or whatever they might be traveling down for. And the water hazards led the name to such things as the Suck, the Skillet, and the Pan. And the most notorious whirlpool there was the Suck, and it is said that Native Americans who lived on the land could see the souls of their ancestors being sucked into the massive pool. It was said that anyone who got close to the whirlpool would get sucked in by their ancestors. In 1898, several Chattanooga business interests formed the Tennessee River Improvement Association to lobby for efforts to extend the year-round navigation to Chattanooga. Around 1900, Mayor Dan Kingman of the United States Army Corps of Engineers determined that a dam near the southwestern end of the gorge would eliminate water hazards and rapid downstream currents. An engineer from Chattanooga by the name of Joseph Con Guild offered to raise funds and build the dam in exchange for the rights to the dam's electrical output. He received authorization from the Congress in 1904, and in 1905 he organized the Chattanooga and Tennessee River Power Company, known as TEPCO. The construction of the dam started in 1905 by the initial contractor, William J. Oliver and Company, two self-contained communities. Guild, now known as Hale Town, and Ladd's were built nearby houses to the thousands of workers that were needed to build the dam. The dam was being built on what was once Cherokee territory. During the illegal Treaty of Sycamore Shoals in March 17, 1775, War Chief Dragon Canoe cursed the land, vowing that it was a dark and bloody land and would be unproductive and uninhabitable for anyone that attempted to settle there. The Cherokees also believed that the water where the dam was built was also very sacred. The dam was originally scheduled to be completed in 1909, however faced many numerous difficulties, including weak limestone foundation, which plagued the dam for nearly 40 years. By 1910, only the lock and the powerhouse had been completed. After engineers began using pressure grouting and concrete caissons, they started to make more progress. On November 1, 1913, the dam was complete and set into operation. It was 113 feet high, 2,315 feet long, and its spillway had combined discharge capacity of 224,000 cubic per second. It's a lot of water.
Yeah.
At the time, it was one of the first major multi-purpose dams and one of the first major dams to be built across navigable channel in the United States. The dam was estimated to cost only $2 million, but by the end, nearly $10 million, which equals $237 million in today's value.
Hmm.
A little bit of background, right? So, building land on sacred area is cursed.
Makes sense.
I would be very angry, too, if somebody decided to build a dam in sacred land, and especially trying to stop, you know, whirlpools that are very sacred to my ancestors. Cursed land makes sense, right? And it's kind of strange that all these bad things happen, and that's where the story begins. Because according to the Tata on Howard Network, the construction of the dam encountered numerous issues, including soft bedrock and shale on which the dam was constructed, accidents, illnesses, racial tension, and the death of workers, and even numerous leaks springing up immediately after the construction was completed. Also, the town that the creation dam flooded contained Old Town Graveyard, and none of the bodies were disentombed. The Hales Bar Dam never functioned properly, and after a failure in the 1960s, the dam was demolished, flooding the area behind it, which included a cemetery filled with hundreds of graves of mostly children who had died during the 1918-1919 Spanish flu epidemic. With such a strange history, it is no wonder that the Hales Bar Dam is considerably a very haunted hotspot. I wonder why. Visitors and employees have seen apparitions and shadows, have heard and seen footsteps that actually kicked up dust, and have heard children's voices chanting and crying. Some unlucky visitors have even felt hands reach out to them and touch them from the whirlpool, while others have reported seeing strange figure in the catwalk, believed to be the restless spirit of War Chief Dragon Canoe himself. So they demolished a dam, but you can still go to like the main building now and go investigate. What's your think so far there, Count Panic?
Well, again, Bob, a lot of things that you probably shouldn't do. Of course, the burial grounds, I mean, to even build upon that, you got to expect that something may be hanging around there still. And it seems like in this case, something definitely is, Bob.
I would say
something
so.
Upset that a dam was built upon the land. So I think I know where this is going, Bob. I think I know where this is going. But you never know. You could throw me for a loop here.
Yes. Are you ready to hear some other nasty business that's gone on there?
Yeah.
In 1906, a worker was shot and killed by an unknown gunman. Another fell from a rock and was crushed and was left with multiple injuries, including internal trauma. And a boiler explosion made actual fatalities occur as well. People kept dying there. People kept getting murdered there because we were talking about the racial tensions. Racial tensions during the construction was very potent. Two African-American men were killed by two white men who got away with the murders. Gill, the project engineer, died from an ear infection in 1907 before the dam was completed. In 1911, the body of one of Hales was found run over by railroad tracks that led to the dam. Authorities didn't think he was drunk. A murder happened there in 1912. During the construction years, the workers' conditions were horrendous. Three workers fell in the concrete that was being poured. And guess what? They were left there.
Okay. Okay.
There were dead bodies in the walls of the Hale Dam. They just kept making the dam, even though all these workers kept dying and murders happening. You know, Native American curse put on the land.
So at some point, Bob, do the people working on this still think, hey, there's something happening here?
I guess not.
Something a little too strange is going on?
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably thinking of something very strange going on there. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
I guess. I mean, a job is a job, and I'm sure you're getting paid for that job. But at some point, the bad luck after bad luck after bad luck, I would think you got to stop and say, hey, is it just maybe the place we're staying on, the ground we're standing on, something a little too eerie about this ground?
Absolutely.
It's just me, I guess.
Oh, it's absolutely horrific, this dam and the story that goes with it. I was actually completely baffled by some of the paranormal encounters that have gone on there as well. What really sparked my interest for this, for me wanting to do this episode was, so the investigator that went in paranormal caught on camera, right? We have a caller?
You want to take it live?
Live.
All right, we're going to take,
hold on. Before caller, before you say anything, I hear it. I feel it. I believe we're talking to Jack.
Nope.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, listener.
Elliot.
Oh, hey, Elliot.
You're too early for Jack. It's still only 10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock. I assumed Jack would be calling in to make me keep talking. Elliot, you're back on the air. Sorry about that.
So I've actually been to Hale's Dam.
Great. I don't need the investigator from Paranormal Caught on Camera. Elliot, tell me everything. Put you on the spot. If not, bring your wife on because I get to interview somebody that's been there.
So when we went there, it was like completely calm. The dam is fully there. You can actually rent a little cabin there. We just stopped by to check the place out. When we went, it was completely calm. My wife asked if there's any ghosts there, and a big gust of wind whipped up. Then we checked it out with the spirit box, and it said yes, like a drawn-out yes. And then all of our stuff froze and got corrupted. All of our cameras and our phones, and the spirit box died when it was at a full battery. So I would definitely say that place is haunted. If you're ever in the area, it's a really cool place to check out.
Did you get to go in the tunnels?
We didn't get in the tunnels because it was just changing owners, and it was under construction at the time. They were cleaning it out. We also were told by the owner that there were children that got trapped in the tunnels because they would have to cross the dam to get to school on the other side. There was a tunnel underneath, and they got stuck in there.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. That was part of the reason. No, you're okay. It's what I have you there for. Part of the reason why I found this so fascinating in the clip from the Paranormal Caught on Camera was because of that, the kids' laughter you hear in that. Did you see the video? Have you seen the show?
I didn't.
Okay, it's good.
When I went, though, the graveyard there with the children buried in it was, like, destroyed from a tree falling over that uprooted all the graves. So
terrifying. Top that off with cursed land and among other things, I suppose.
Yeah, that had to have added to the horrible. They're still intact for the most part, though. There are really beautiful cabins right there that you can.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let's push the tourism part of it. Let's go stay at the Haunted Dam.
I'll let you get back to the show.
I appreciate you calling in and sharing that because, boy, that worked out great. Thanks, Elliot.
No problem, man. Bye.
All right. So, Jack will call in the next five minutes.
Never know.
I'm sure. Because I'm
busy guy, too.
Who, Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. All right, so what was fascinating about the footage I saw was can't buy into videos, right? It's hard because I worked and my background is in videography, right? I know how to record video. I know how to shoot things. I also know how to edit things.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to buy into some of the stuff I see on camera, right? Because, again, editing is a thing. But in the video that he was showing, this the guy who was walking around in the show, he was in the tunnels below, and you hear this voice just come through clear as day, say, turn back around. It's kind of spooky.
Okay.
Yeah. Got even spookier when there was kids' laughter.
Yeah, I don't
what are you
that.
Doing down here, mister?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not. Do we have another caller? You're antsy over there.
No, that's just me adjusting my cake.
Okay, I was making sure you're okay. These kids say, oh, what are you doing down here, mister? That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are terrifying. Absolutely
yeah.
horrifying. So I don't have any. But this this kid just said, you know, these kids' voices. And he was like, why am I hearing kids in this dam? As Elliot was saying on the phone, apparently there was a school built because they built these towns around this dam for the workers and their families to live while the workers built the dam, right? Well, there was a tunnel system that led from the school through, like, the tunnels of the dam. They can go home, they can go visit their family that's working at the dam, etc. It's a good way to travel during bad weather. You following me so far?
I do follow you so far, Bob.
Unfortunately, one time there was a group of kids walking through the tunnel, and the tunnel system failed. And unfortunately, there was a bunch of kids who drowned in that tunnel as well, which was even scarier to think that this guy was walking through the tunnel and started hearing kids' voices.
Yeah.
While you're wandering around. Listen, if I hear a child's voice during a paranormal investigation, I'm gone.
Especially if they're calling you dad or something.
I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
No.
Spooky, right?
It is spooky. It's terrifying.
By the way, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Dragon Con Daily Dragon Online, written by Elisa Pack for that some of the different tragedies that have happened during the dam building. So, Count Panic, why do you suppose this place is haunted?
Well, Bob, I mean, I think at the beginning you kind of hit it off. A burial ground, that seems like key there, doesn't it? But you're saying, is there more backstory to this?
Well, I mean, that's the story. So
yeah.
This dam's there, and it's
yeah.
supposedly haunted.
It is.
There is a lot of tragedies that have gone on in this dam. And you got to imagine, back even these days, when you're dealing with the manufacturing world, accidents happen. It's very unfortunate. My father worked in the steel mill for a very, very long time, and it's a scary gig, man. You know, and accidents happen. I understand that. So when, you know, things like skyscrapers were going up, workers fell to their death. That's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's horrible, but it happens.
No, for sure. Well, here's the thing, Bob.
Yeah.
Next time you want to build a dam or anything else, maybe do a little back research on what went down there before, because you don't want to get to start building something and then all these tragedies take place. Good to know the history of the place you're building upon. With anything in life, Bob. Say you're building a new house. Maybe get the backstory of what was in that area before you were building that house. Might have been nothing at all. It might have been a burial ground. Might have been something else. Good to do some research, though.
Absolutely.
That's my little PSA right there, Bob.
Do some research.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't build on land that was cursed by a Native American chief either, over a tidal pool that said that used to suck the spirits of their ancestors down inside of it. And if you walk near it, the spirits of the ancestors would try to drag you down with them. Probably shouldn't put a dam over
yeah.
it.
Well, you live and learn, I guess.
Listen, if there is a few places in my career that I've looked into that I've never been, that I would probably take a guess as haunted. Like last week with the Enchanted Forest, maybe. But with this one, without a doubt. There's people getting murdered there. There's Native American curses. There's kids dying. There's disturbed cemeteries nearby. There's literally people's remains and bodies that died during the pouring of the concrete and they just left there to put up into the walls. There are bodies in the concrete of the walls of the dam.
Well, that's the thing. And you got to take that in consideration and realize, hey, this is not the best thing to be building a dam upon. I don't know, Bob. But you just think, just a little research. It's amazing what a little research could do. Like, if you built the house, Bob, wouldn't you do some research on the land before you
built it? No, absolutely not. Just build it.
No, just build it.
Build it.
Then later on, you see, hear kids laughing in the halls. And
shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah? Yeah. Dolls walking around.
Oh, I'd leave the house.
Leave
that's
the house.
That's not my house.
Burn it
anymore.
To the ground.
That's not my house anymore.
Burn that house
if
down.
If I see dolls walking around, that ain't my house anymore. I ain't living there. I would have to be going in with several things to take care of that problem. I'm not dealing with walking around dolls.
Fair enough. And those robots walk in as well.
That's fine. A robot's a robot. I want high dolls.
A robot is a robot, Bob. Uh-oh, Bob. It's 2 after dark for you. You're getting a little sleepy there.
Count panic. I understand that. I'm just really sleepy today.
I hear you, Bob.
But either way, I spooky stuff, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Fascinating stuff, Bob.
Okay. That's a lot of energy in one building, right? A big, big, big energy footprint. Real terrifying stuff. So that's why I think it's probably very haunted, too.
I agree. I'm with you on this.
What is your final words?
My final words, Bob, is, again, I want to give a quick shout-out to Heather. Thank you much, very much, Heather, for
the art there.
Thank
you, Heather.
It's
very sweet of you.
Yeah, let's hold it up there for a second. There you go.
Absolutely. Thank
you, Heather. Yeah, so thank you for that once again. Thank you all for listening and watching as well. And, again, do a little research before you build something on a land, because you never know. It could be haunted. And Yemen, guess if anybody from the
Yemen,
Yemen. I guess we're coming out to Yemen pretty soon, so we're booking a flight, all included, price included, in the hotel stay as well. So
absolutely,
all inclusive. Make sure it has a pull, Bob.
I will look into it.
All right,
folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.